This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Welcome back and listen to The Morning Run. Let's talk about state legislative assemblies.
That's right, because 9 of the 13 state legislative bodies are planning to convene for the first time this year. We have Pahang and Perlis that have scheduled sittings in mid-August, while Malacca is due to sit by mid-July. And other states are in the process of getting approval from their respective sultans and governors for an assembly sitting.
Now, all this has increased the pressure on the Perikatan National Administration to reconvene Parliament. Meanwhile, de facto Law Minister Dato' Sri Takoyuddin Hassan said that the government was studying the mechanisms required for the Parliament sittings to go hybrid amid the pandemic, but without a solid timeline in sight. So can state legislative bodies convene while an emergency is underway and before the federal parliament meets? What kind of political implications might this have?
So for more on this, we have Dr. Wong Chien-Huat, the political scientist at Sunway University, to discuss this. Chien-Huat, good morning. Now, several states like Selangor and Johor are looking to reconvene their state legislative assemblies already, perhaps even before the federal parliament convenes. Is it possible for this to happen in the current emergency climate?
Certainly. Section 15 of the emergency ordinance provide that a state legislative assembly can be summoned as the Yang di-Pertuan Agong thinks appropriate after consultation with the respective ruler or governor. What it means in strict constitutional monarchy term is the federal government and the state government need to approve. In the current circumstance, it actually means that the Agong and the Sultans agree. So there's nothing to stop them. Now, what is actually more important is when would the state assembly call for their meeting? Only Malacca would have it before August. And why this is so important? If we look at the time and we assume that the emergency actually stops the parliamentary clock, then the 6 month interval between a parliamentary or legislative setting and another is temporarily halted. But if you look back at the last day of the sitting for the states, the earliest one that ended was Penang on October 19 last year, which means that their 6 month term, the period has ended on April 19, and the latest was Sabah that met on 23rd December, the last day, which means the 6 month ended 2 days ago. So what it means is that if they are not called immediately on August 2nd or before, all the parliament and all the stateless assembly may stand automatically dissolved because the parliamentary or legislative clock will start clicking again.
Wow, that's quite a dire situation that you paint there, Chien-Huat. What happens if all the state assemblies are dissolved then? Does an election have to take place?
Yes, unfortunately, there's no other way. Unless you're going to prolong the emergency so that you freeze every state from having elections.
Okay, which is the situation facing Sarawak, am I correct?
Yes, it's currently is what happened with Sarawak. Sarawak terms would have ended on May 13, but it must have met on May 13, but now it has prolonged until August 1st because of the stop of the clock.
Okay, let's change the conversation to the federal government then. Does all this put pressure on the federal government to reconvene then?
It should, but what the government is seeing is that the government is trying to delay it by calling for a special committee. They don't really need a special committee because the law minister, the speakers and their deputies of both houses are already meeting. They have been talking so much. All they need to do is to invite the key opposition leaders to join. And at some point, they need to find out, they have to get to the standing order committees to amend the standing orders so that you can have hybrid meeting. It's a very small procedural step they need to take. Question is whether, do you want to do it? And as Deputy Speaker of Dewan Rakyat, Dato' Sri Azalina Oman Said, make it very clear. If there is a will, there is a way.
At the end of the day, Chien-Huat, whose decision is it? Who decides that Parliament can convene?
I would argue that it is the people, because the government is so weak now that its legitimacy hinges on public approval. So if the public is going to provide a strong backlash, and the UMNO MPs, government backbenchers in UMNO, and the opposition MPs, they would have very strong legitimate ground to overthrow the government when the parliament is reconvened, even if it's after September. But what it actually means is that if the public knows that August 2nd is the day that the parliament must meet to avoid automatic dissolution, then if the government continue to do this, it would be read as a government actually contemplating to have that election by default somewhere if it's get dissolved on August 2nd, which means that it must be held by October 2nd. And so, the public may not be so forgiving to force an election in the midst of a pandemic.
So try and make sense of all this for us, if you can, Chin Huat. This day of deadlock is seems to be extending day by day, and we don't have that policy direction, at least from the public standpoint. How can the public rightly take its position as the ultimate arbiter of what's going on here?
The public should look at our parliamentary system and demand very clearly for the parliament to be not only reconvened, but to be reinstated or even empowered, because it was never really empowered so much in the past, so that it become a center of policy making. By a center of policy making, we are not saying that every detailed decision will be made in the parliament. No country can do that. But rather that executive decision would have to go to the parliament and its parliamentary select committees for scrutiny. And therefore, the political base of policy making would be widened. Currently, when the executive is controlling everything, even before the emergency, what it means that the real decision makers in our countries are consisting of only two groups, the minister and deputy minister, and the senior civil servants, the DG and so on. And because the government backbenchers and opposition have so little power to change any decision. But if we empower the parliament, then we can have a more broad-based policy making that can avoid policy blind spot and therefore public backlashes and then government flip-flops.
Empowering parliament is a call that you've been making, Chin Huat, for many years now. And I think we're going to continue to hear that from you until we actually see real reform. I want to change direction a little bit and look at what could happen we just don't know when it will be, when parliament reconvenes. And that is the issue of the no confidence vote, because I do think that that's one of the reasons why the government is holding off reconvening parliament, or that's what's being perceived at the moment. Can we look at where UMNO stands in this as a major player? Dato' Sri Ismail Sabri has assured that Barisan Nasional MPs won't table a no confidence vote against the present government. But how sure are you that they will actually keep this pledge? I mean, there seems to be so many dynamics and shenanigans going around. What are you seeing from this point?
UMNO is no longer a singular term here. It is plural. We have more than one UMNOs, and we can't say which MP or which minister can speak for UMNO. However, what we can see here is this. The government, what determines the government fate is the government performance and its legitimacy, and the availability of an alternative government or election. For UMNO, most UMNO leaders would want to be the dominant party in the government, and the best chance to do that is to have a fresh elections. Next to that is to topple the government and put itself as the senior partner, but it has less seats than Pakatan. So that's why UMNO is caught. However, if the government performance, for example, if another major policy mishap or missteps happen, then it provides all the legitimacy for the UMNO and PH MPs to bring down the government. Mm-hmm. And they probably will want to sort out what happened after that. If they cannot reach an agreement, that means we're going to go into another round of political vacuum after the Sheraton move with Mahathir's resignation. Okay. So the only guarantee for that is, again, guarantee for political stability is a confidence in supply agreement. Mm-hmm.
Okay, thank you so much. That was Dr. Wong Chin Huat, the political scientist at Sun Wei University. This impasse is quite distressing.
Yeah, I didn't realize that the clock was ticking, actually, for especially state assemblies, that otherwise there would be actually maybe technically a call for elections then.
Mm-hmm.
So I think we'll have to watch this space. It's going to be an interesting time, whether all the state assemblies can meet that deadline or whether the state of emergency might just be extended a little bit more. Who knows?
I guess all eyes are going to be on the Malacca State Assembly, which apparently has a date for before August. Mm. So I guess all eyes are going to be on whether they'll be able to pull this off and whether that will set the chain reaction for other state assemblies to also reconvene.
BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.